Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, MICA and social housing are topping the agenda today at a meeting being held between Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue, management at Donegal County Council, and elected Fianna Fáil public representatives in the county. We'll hear from the minister. Meanwhile, an international conference on MICA and defective concrete blocks will take place at the ATU campus in Letterkenny in November. Some of the world's foremost scientific experts will be in the area for discussions on mica, pyrotite and other deleterious materials. And as the state funeral of Queen Elizabeth took place today in London, the flying of the national flag at half-mast the council buildings in Donegal was obstructed in two areas. Later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. All that to follow. But first, this evening, energy companies have increased their standing charges, with some customers experiencing increases of up to €300. The fee, which is used to cover fixed costs, isn't related to how much electricity a customer uses. According to the bunkers.ie website and the Irish Independent, the standing charge is now costing some customers €700 a year. And personal finance editor Charlie Weston says those in rural areas are being hit the hardest.
There's different tariffs for rural areas and for urban areas. For example, Electric Ireland, the biggest electricity supplier in the country, which is owned by ESB, you know, their urban standing charge is about €300. If you're in a rural area, it's about 484. So before you turn on a light, you have to pay that standing charge.
MICA and social housing have been topping the agenda at a meeting taking place between Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue, Donegal County Council management and elected public representatives from Fianna Fáil. The meeting's been looking at how real progress can be made on repairing MICA-affected homes, as well as the wider issue of delivering more social housing across the county. Well, speaking to Highland Radio News before the meeting, Minister McConnellogue acknowledged there are many still seeking answers and clarity on redress.
These are obviously two of the biggest issues facing the county in relation to MICA. The approval of the new legislation in mid-July was a really important step. And there's about 13 houses finished in the county now, with about 50 underway or getting underway. But there are several hundred who are awaiting decisions. And the key thing now in the short term is actually being able to give answers and clarity and approvals to as many of those as is possible, while we're waiting on further scientific advice from the National Standards Authority of Ireland. And I've been discussing along with our team of councillors and Senator Blaney that issue and how we can actually make real progress and ensure that the council give us answers and as many of those as possible with them today. Also then, in relation to social housing, there's unprecedented investment available from the government in relation to building social housing. It's the largest investment ever in the history of the state. It's key that we see that actually translated into new social housing across the county. And the County Council, as a delivery agent for housing in the county, has a crucial role to play in that.
And it is important now, as we head into winter, that this real progress is made as soon as possible.
Very much so, particularly on the MICA issue. There's many families who are awaiting clarity in relation to their applications. A number of those, unfortunately, which are affected by pyrotite, are awaiting on further scientific and engineering advice. But it's my strong belief that there's a significant number of applications which you can make real progress on, and with the right cooperation between the County Council and the Department, get answers on and clarity on in the short term, so that they actually can get approvals.
Minister Charlie McConnellogue there speaking to Michaela Clark. Meanwhile, an international conference on MICA and defective concrete blocks will take place at the ATU campus in Letterkenny in November. The conference will be the first element of a three-day research-focused event, which will see leading international experts in geology, earth sciences and engineering in Donegal. One of the organisers of the event is Professor Paul Dunlop.
We are bringing this international team of scientists to Donegal on the 15th of November. So there's a joint international conference that's been hosted by ATU. It's a joint research initiative by Ulster University and ATU. And all of those speakers, if you remember back in March, Andreas Lehmann, people from Laval University in Quebec, University of Connecticut, and we're going to have a chance for homeowners who are, and engineers, government officials, people like Charlie McConnellogue and Niall Blaney, who are talking today at the council, they can all come to ATU on the 15th and they can meet these people firsthand and learn what's happening internationally. Mm. You know, this is a very, very big issue. It's not just Ireland. We have pyrotite, iron sulfide attack, and all those countries.
And I think people who think this doesn't affect affect them. I think anyone who's thinking of building a wall, an extension or a house or a shed, not just now but into the future, should be keeping an eye on this as well.
That's a very critical point. I think one of the real valuable insights that everyone got at the day of the sort of, and it wasn't really pre-legis legal scrutiny, but the one day that it was given about the lack of oversight of what's happening. And critical questions were asked from the housing people, Department of Housing, Housing Agency, engineers. We even had people on who were claiming that they knew that there were side deals going on by quarries at the minute, going to homeowners and giving them sort of hush deals to keep them quiet because their homes are made of defective concrete. And not one quarry or operator so far that has been selling defective concrete into the market has been shut down. So, I mean, are you talking about building concrete block house in Ireland? I'd be absolutely terrified.
And that was Professor Paul Dunlop there speaking to Greg Hughes on today's 9 to noon show. Meanwhile, a Micah homeowner says she lives in fear each day that the chimney on her property will fall in and kill her. Ellen Doherty's been left distraught after a wall and fence to the rear of her home were recently damaged during a storm. But because of the presence of Micah, her insurance provider will not pay out for repairs. She believes if the positioning of the chimney were slightly altered, she would live with more peace of mind. She too spoke to Greg on today's 9 to noon show.
Not Saturday night past, but a week before, we had a storm. Where my home is positioned, we get an awful lot of wind. And it blew down my fence and my wall into my backyard. Now, I consulted my insurance, and they said they didn't cover for rain. I was at my wit's end. My house has mica as well, and my chimney, I'm waiting on it to come in and tap me and kill me some night. Nobody will give me a loan. I'm 66 years of age, and I have no hope of getting a loan to pay for that. And my insurance won't pay for it. I would, honest to God, like the chimney taken down a bit. Taken down so far that it won't fall on top of me. Just the bit that sticks up in the air. I mean, that's very, very heavy. I simply don't sleep. I cry myself and pray to God the whole time that the chimney doesn't come in and tap me. I do remember us lighting a fire and sitting on here over Christmas with the Christmas lights on, Christmas tree, you know, and it was lovely. But it won't be like that this year.
And that was Ellen Doherty speaking to Greg on today's 9 to noon show. The British Queen's coffin has begun its final journey. Following her state funeral, world leaders were among the congregation at the hour-long service, including Taoiseach Micheál Martin and President Michael D. Higgins. Following the funeral, the coffin was carried in a grand procession through London before it was driven to Windsor, where Queen Elizabeth will be laid to rest in a private burial cemetery this evening. Well, as the state funeral was taking place in London this morning, the flying of the national flag at half-mast at council buildings was obstructed at two of Donegal County Council's public services centres. The Taoiseach had requested the flying of the flags at half-mast as the funeral was taking place. But Councillor Micheál Colum-Gilleaspic travelled to Letterkenny Public Services Centre himself to physically raise the flag back to full mast. He then returned to Dunloe, where a starry plough flag was raised before a banner was draped across the flagpole to stop staff accessing it. In a social media message from Dunloe, Councillor Gilleaspic hit out at council officials who tried to implement the Taoiseach's wishes.
Sorry, plough still flying. No national flag at half mast here. The banner still up. Issues around health and safety have taken the banner down. The senior staff of the council, and to their shame, sent staff from another area. I've been speaking to a lot of staff here, and they're absolutely outraged, those that I spoke to. And again, shame on senior staff of the council and Micheál Martin, Fianna Fáil and the government for not consulting with staff here and consulting with the public representatives on such a step. It's a disgrace, and people are right to be very angry at this. So far, so good. There's no other flag flying here apart from the starry plough. Good morning.
Councillor Micheál Cullen-Glasbeck there speaking on social media from the Public Services Centre in Dunloe earlier today. The Finance Minister says he will be considering whether hotels have been price gouging when making budget decisions this week. Many hotels have been criticised for raising prices unfairly over the summer. A decision is to be made this week on whether or not to end preferential VAT treatment for the sector. Minister Pascal Donoghue says allegations of price gouging by some hotels will be a factor in that decision.
I think any reaction that I have regarding what has happened in recent weeks will be put in the round. And that round is the hospitality sector is an enormously important employer within our country. I just have to make all these taxation decisions together, and I'll be doing that later on in the week with my colleagues in government.
Meanwhile, the Minister for Tourism says hotels are facing the same financial pressures as many other families and businesses. Catherine Martin was responding to questions about whether the industry has been increasing its prices unfairly. However, the Minister said hotels have to offer value for money so visitors return.
We have to remember our tourism and hospitality sectors are facing the same pressures as our many families and businesses across the country. The inflation rise, the cost of energy. So like we need to be cognizant of that. But of course, our hotels, that industry, and myself and the Taoiseach met the Hospitality and Tourism Forum last week. They have to be, as I've always said, give value to money to our tourists to ensure that they return again.
4,180 Round 2 CAO offers were issued today, 1,291 applicants receiving offers for the first time. Anyone receiving an offer in that round today has until Wednesday at 3 p.m. to accept the offer. Police have charged a man following the seizure of suspected Class A controlled drugs in the Strabane area yesterday. The 26-year-old has been charged with possession of a Class A controlled drug with intent to supply. He's due before Omagh Magistrates Court tomorrow. Meanwhile, a 42-year-old man's been released on bail pending further police inquiries. Both were stopped by a patrol close to the border. With more, here's Emma Ryan.
Police were conducting a checkpoint in the Lifford Road area shortly before midnight when they noted a vehicle turning and driving in the opposite direction. The car was subsequently stopped and searched, with officers seizing a quantity of suspected drugs and other items. Both the driver and passenger were arrested on suspicion of possession of the drugs with intent to supply. Follow-up searches at two addresses resulted in the seizure of more suspected drugs and other items, including drug paraphernalia and mobile phones. Sergeant Karen McGuinness is appealing to anyone who may have any information about drug dealing to pass the information to police.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with some horse racing news, and Dylan Brown McMonagall has continued his recent good form. Following on from his double at Dundalk and his win in Gowran Park, the Donegal jockey was back in the winner's enclosure today, Monday, at Ferry House. He won the 3:20 Ferry House members claiming race on approaching Bear at 100-30 for trainer Joseph O'Brien. That was Dylan's sixth win in the last fortnight and his 38th this season. He is, of course, bidding to become Irish champion apprentice jockey for the second successive year at the end of next month. Just staying with horse racing, and Donegal jockey Oisin Orr picked up a 30th win of the GB flat season yesterday. Racing at Hamilton, Orr, who was on board the Richard Fahey-trained installation, shared the victory with Queenie Rooney, ridden by Callum Rodriguez. Inside the final furlong, Orr pushed strongly towards the finish as he joined the leader at the post to force a dead heat. Oisin will be back on the track tomorrow, Tuesday, with two rides at Beverley. To Gaelic Games, the Donegal CCC will confirm the match details for the upcoming Donegal Senior Football Championship semi-finals later today. After the weekend's quarter-finals, defending champion St Eunan's will play Kilcar, while Niamh Connell will face Gwydor. Dr Maguire winner with Niamh Connell, John Gilday, says his club and Gwydor will be happy with the draw.
If you're looking for a draw, from both a Gwydor perspective and a Niamh Connell perspective, they'd be happy enough playing one another because both of them think that they will be in the shout. I think the hardest side of the draw is definitely the St Eunan's Kilcar side of the draw. I think they're two more dynamic teams at this point. Both teams are going into the semi-final in exactly the right state of mind. They're going in under the radar. All the talks about the other two. So I think both of them will be quietly confident that they can get one over the other. And then you're in a final and it's, you know, anything can happen.
That's John Gilday, and there's more from John tonight. He's a guest on the DL Debate with Brendan Devaney as they review all the club championship action. Also on the show is Glenn Swilly's Gary McDade, and from the Donegal News, Frank Craig. Plus Maureen O'Donnell will be talking ladies' football. That's the DL Debate tonight after the 7 o'clock news presented by Brendan Devaney. Now, Niamh Columba will play Dunloe in this year's Donegal Intermediate Championship final in just under 2 weeks' time. In Sunday evening's second semi-final, Niamh Columba beat Fanad Gaels 4-11-2-9. Both Dunloe and the Glencolm Kill men know each other well, having met at the semi-final stage last year. Niamh Columba manager Paddy J. McGinley says that's going to be a 50-50 game.
We got embarrassed last year by Dunloe. They were very good, and I think people would have to say that Dunloe have kicked on from there, and they're the only unbeaten team in the championship. It's a 50-50 game, and people that say Dunloe are way ahead of us, I wouldn't say it like that. It's a 50-50 game.
There might be a few in Dunloe say that you're way ahead of them too. So.
Well, I think the evidence doesn't say so, but no, it's a 50-50 game. It's a final, and it's good to be in it.
On the international football front, Andrew Obabamadele has been ruled out of the Republic of Ireland's Nations League matches against Scotland and Armenia. The Norwich defender has been replaced by Aberdeen's Liam Scales. Stephen Kenny's squad trained this afternoon as they begin preparations for Saturday's meeting with the Scots in Glasgow. Ireland, of course, welcome Armenia to Dublin 3 days later. Well, Robbie Brady says Stephen Kenny remained in contact throughout the winger's absence from the international squad. A string of impressive performances for his new club, Preston, has seen Brady earn a recall ahead of the games against Scotland and Armenia. Brady's last cap was in a friendly with Qatar 18 months ago, but he praised the support showing by the Irish manager.
It sort of speaks for itself. I wasn't playing enough football to put myself in contention, and I know that myself. But no, he's been great for me since he first came in, and keeping in contact and his thoughts on me and where he thinks I can get to. And like I said, I wasn't able to get myself in a position to give him what he needed. And I feel as if now I'm back fit and healthy, and I feel as if I'm in a good enough place to make an impact. So like I said, I'd be ready to go if needed.
Republic of Ireland under 21 manager Jim Crawford has called four players into his squad ahead of the European Championship playoff against Israel: Dara Costello, Amcelo Garcia McNulty, Adam O'Reilly, and David Amusu have all been drafted in. Luca Connolly, David Harrington, Liam Kerrigan, and Mark McGuinness are all ruled out through injury. The first leg of the playoff takes place on Friday evening in Tala, with the return fixture 4 days later. The FAI Cup semi-final fixture details have been confirmed, with both ties to take place on Sunday, October 16th. Derry City clash with Treaty United at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium at 2 o'clock, and then at 4:45, it's the start of the match involving Waterford and Shelburne at the RSC. Derry, of course, did progress with an extra time win over Shamrock Rovers last night. 3-1 was how it finished. Jamie McGonigal hit the first, but it was the substitutes Danny Lafferty and Brandon Kavanagh who scored in the extra period to give the Candy Stripes the win. Derry boss Rory Higgins was full of praise for the men who sealed the victory.
It's Brandon's first goal for the club, Brandon. Is it a difficult sort of month, 6 weeks? He's found himself out of the team, and he's showed real, real composure there and put it away brilliantly and put the game to bed. And Danny, again, Danny's found himself out of the team from sort of the mid-season break and comes up with a big goal, and he's done that his whole career. He scores goals from set plays. And two big moments, and we're delighted that we can send this passionate crowd home happy.
That's Derry boss Rory Higgins. You can hear more from him and indeed from Danny Lafferty and Brandon Kavanagh. Those interviews are available now in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. That's your sport update. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. Atlantis area councillor says much more must be done to counter illegal dumping in the west of the county. Councillor John Hamish O'Farrie says as part of that process, better recycling facilities are necessary in Gwydor and Falkara. He says a number of illegal dumps have been detected in recent weeks, including one in an area where a previous dump had been cleared just 3 weeks ago.
The council in the last number of years has spent an enormous amount of money in cleaning up these illegal dumps, and as we've seen, the cost of 12,000 been spent on the legal dump outside Fulcarra there in recent weeks, and now another one has been identified in Ardsbeg. The one in Ardsbeg was cleaned 3 years ago, and it was the local community got involved, and in conjunction with Donegal County Council it was cleaned up. But last week it's come to attention again that there's more legal dumping happening at this site. And again, I keep emphasising that we have to get far more tougher with illegal dumpers in relation to fines and stuff like that. I think the fines are too lenient. If somebody's caught illegal dumping, that there should be a €5,000 or €10,000 fine. I know with data protection and everything that you can't release names or anything like that, and it has to stop. Like, and it's that's money that we could have spent on other projects in the Glenties Municipal District.
You're also seeking improved recycling facilities in areas right across the MD, and then maybe if there were more recycling facilities available, we might see illegal dumping reduce in certain circumstances.
Yes, I'm looking for sites as well in relation to bottle banks. There's the development of a new bottle bank there in the Scrabon area of Derrybeg. I know there's one Malloy's, which is used by the public in Gidor, and also the tourists that come to the area, they use a lot of it. So this will be an additional one. The one in Fulcarra now, there was one at the church there that has been since removed, but I'm glad to hear today that another one is going to be put in place.
Councillor Johnny Hamish O'Farrey there. There are fears someone could be seriously injured unless safety measures are rolled out on a major route in Inishowen. Councillor Rena Donaghy says residents in the Tubin area of Burnfoot are living in fear because of the volume of traffic on that road which links Derry and Buncrana. She's calling for traffic calming measures to be put in place.
A number of residents in the Tubin area of Burnfoot, they have been saying that the problem there is that they find it very difficult to get across the road to the shop. There. It's a very, very busy road. It's also actually a regional road. It's a very wide road at that particular part where the shop is. And with the bus stop there and people trying to get across from the bus as well, I have asked that the engineer would look at some kind of a safety measure to be put in place there. And he has said that yes, he will investigate to see what can be done. And the other was at the cyclist rest on the same road a bit further down, where we have the cyclist rest, we have the pub, we have the carpet centre, we have a cabinet making store, and we have a shop as well. So people there have asked that, again, this is a regional road, but if there were some type of calming measure able to be installed, it would be a great help.
Finally, over 1,700 events will take place across the country on this coming Friday as Culture Night returns. The annual celebration was launched this afternoon in Dublin. Events include sketching, singing, art exhibitions and dancing, with several events taking place in Donegal on the night. The director of the Arts Council is Maureen Connelly.
Dizzy with excitement. At last count, there were over 1,700 events, so every part of Ireland is going to be pulsing with it. I was thinking about it this morning. It's like a sense of the ploughing championship for the artist community. It's that big. It's like this national moment. You know, we think in the past of things like Eurovision or national television events, and I think Culture Night is like that for the public. And it's really like a gift from the artistic community. It's like an annual gift.
Well, the forecast on Met Aaron tell us it'll be dry for the rest of today, apart from a few isolated light showers. Mostly cloudy this evening, light to moderate south to southwest winds. Tonight, largely dry, a mix of cloud and clear spells. Patches of light rain and drizzle developing near the west coast before morning. It'll stay mild with lows of 10 to 13 degrees Celsius, mostly light southerly breezes. Winds moderate at times near the west coast. It'll be mostly cloudy tomorrow with patchy outbreaks of rain and drizzle. Staying mild with highs of 16 to 18 degrees Celsius. Moderate southerly winds, fresh at times near the west coast. And that Highland Radio News for now. Main stories. Energy companies have upped their standing charges, with some customers experiencing increases of up to €300. The charges are highest for those in rural areas when it comes to that standing charge. MICA and social housing are topping the agenda at a meeting that's been taking place this evening between the Agriculture Minister, Charlie McConnellogue, management at Donegal County Council and elected Fianna Fáil public representatives. They're also discussing how to improve social housing provision in the county. Meanwhile, an international conference on MICA and defective concrete blocks will take place at the ATU campus in Letterkenny in November. It's being jointly organised by ATU and Ulster University, bringing a number number of scientific experts over to Donegal to meet with homeowners and local representatives. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The Ipswich notices for this Monday evening, the 19th of September. The death has taken place of Patrick McFadden, Paddy Oney, Mina Niller, Derry Beg, originally of Mina Duff, Bunbeg. His remains are reposing at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derry Beg, until 8 o'clock this evening, with Rosary at 8. They'll repose there again tomorrow, Tuesday, from 5 p.m. to 6:45. Removal afterwards to St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, for 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Wednesday morning at 11, with interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of John McGonigal, Donegard, Malin Head, formerly of Ballyheeny, Malin Head. His remains are reposing at his home in Donegard. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. The death has occurred of John Joe McElwee, Durgan, Port Salon. John Joe's remains are reposing at his late residence. Family time from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. with rosary tonight at 9. Funeral tomorrow at 1 in St. Columbus Church, Massmount. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has occurred of William Gallagher, 1 Willow Park, Letterkenny, and Kerry Keel. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Requiem Mass in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny, at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, followed by interment in Milford Cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on the Church of the Irish Martyrs Facebook page. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.